Hello and welcome to episode 10 of Engaging Internal Comms. This is the show for employee engagers and internal communicators who like to keep up to date with all that is new in our profession. My name's Craig Smith from The Big Picture People. I hope you've been able to listen to the previous 9 episodes of the show. Next week, we have a great interview coming up with a long-term friend and associate of mine called Antoinette Oglethorpe. Antoinette is an expert in career management, and she's going to be talking to us about the importance of career management and how you can use that to build engagement within your organization. So that's coming up next week. If you've not been across to our website, I'd thoroughly recommend it. It's www.engagingic.com. You can sign up for our mailing list there, and we will let you know when the show is released every week, but we'll also let you know what's coming up in next week's episode as well. We'd really like your feedback as well. On the website, there's a space where you could just drop us a few lines about feedback. Let us know what you think about the show, whether there's anything you'd like us to cover coming up in the future. We have a Facebook group as well, which is a private group, which you can join via the link on our website as well, which is again www.engagingic.com. And finally, just a request, if you do like the show and it's useful for you, if you could subscribe to it via your podcast platform, it really helps boost our visibility on iTunes and other podcast platforms. And that's really, really helpful for us in terms of getting more people listening to the show, getting more traction, and hopefully more input into the sorts of things that you'd like us to cover in the future. Anyway, on to today's interview. So for the interview in today's episode, I wanted to go back to a topic that we've covered in previous episodes to a certain extent, which is this idea of company purpose. I know company purpose is something that's really important to many internal communicators, employee engagers. So I really wanted to explore the idea of how we get that idea of purpose across, how we can integrate that into a deep understanding of what people within the organization really need as well. So a real kind of empathy with what people need in order to inspire them and to motivate them to do a great job. And I also wanted to find out how we can kind of bring that idea of purpose to life, particularly across a large organization, a complex organization, how we can really get leadership involved in that process as well in an inspiring and authentic way. So I think you're going to find this, if that's a topic that interests you and you're thinking about in your own organization at the moment, I think you'll find this a really compelling and useful interview. Okay, so today's interview is with Hannah Shepherd, and we're going to be talking about company purpose and how we share our company purpose with our people. Now, Hannah is an experienced internal communicator. She's been at Virgin Media for 16 years and been in a variety of roles. So she worked in a retail store environment. She worked in retail sales management, head of retail experience for a while, head of internal communications, consumer, and more latterly, she's moved into an external communications role. So hello, Hannah, how are you?
Hello, I'm really good. How are you?
Very, very well, thank you. Very well. Where are you based, Hannah? Whereabouts in the UK are you?
I'm in sunny Croydon, so South London.
And is it sunny today?
It is. It was raining about half an hour ago, but now the sun is shining. We've got blue skies, so I'm very happy about that.
Fantastic. So Virgin Media, I know Virgin Media. I'm actually a customer of Virgin Media. But for anyone who's listening who doesn't know what Virgin Media is, tell us a little bit about the business. How many people have you got? How big is the business?
Cool. So Virgin Media is a company that sells broadband, home phone, television and mobile. There's around between 15,000 and 16,000 people.
Wow.
We're across the UK, and we also have some partners offshore as well.
Okay, fantastic. Okay, so we met on LinkedIn and you very kindly agreed to come onto the show, and we were going to share your experiences. But before we dive into your internal communications, which I really like to talk to you about today and this idea of purpose, how did you end up at Virgin Media? Because you told me a little story about this and it was a really interesting story. So tell me about how you ended up working for Virgin Media.
Yeah, so kind of way back when I had high aspirations to become a musician, I kind of left university, did a few bits, and I play the trumpet and the baritone sax, and always been really passionate about music. So that was my dream. I was going to make it. We had quite a bit of success as in a funk band. We played Glastonbury. We supported De La Soul. So
wow.
Going well. It was great. And then some really kind of fun times and treasured moments, definitely, and touring and things like that. But I also worked in Virgin Megastore to begin with. Obviously, my link of love of music led me there. But it was very much a kind of job to pay for my outfits and things like that. And when I was in Virgin Megastore, Virgin Mobile launched, and they set up, I don't know if you remember this, there was like a little concession within Virgin Megastores where they sold mobile phones. And I remember kind of seeing them put the red carpet in and all the mobile phones up. I thought, oh, that looks kind of interesting. So I ended up talking to the hiring manager, just saying, I've got my CV, I wonder if you could squeeze me in. And ended up working for Virgin Mobile, which eventually became Virgin Media. So there was a company called NTO and Telewest, and they bought Virgin Mobile to offer kind of full quad play service, so broadband, TV, home phone, and then the mobile. And it got rebranded as Virgin Media. And to be honest with you, I didn't really think that much about it. I was very like, my focus was very much on my kind of dreams of being this musician. And but I was obviously working in the store, and as you're working, you're kind of learning things, understanding stuff around broadband and TV and all that kind of stuff, and how to talk to customers and customer service, all those things. And then after kind of working in store for about 7 years, our lead singer decided that she wanted to become an organic farmer and run away to Scotland, which was obviously, I'm laughing now, it definitely was not funny at the time. So kind of devastated, kind of all my dreams were over. But then thought, oh, hang on a minute, I work for this big company. Let me have a look what else is on kind of offer and see. And that's where I stumbled across a kind of internal communications role. And when I read about it, I thought, I did a lot in the band around kind of the website, kind of the money side of stuff, but also the events and working with a lot of kind of promoters and all that kind of stuff. And so I felt like there was a lot of transferable skills. I ended up transferring from store into internal comms, and then, yeah.
Wow.
For kind of doing that for the last, I don't even know how many years now.
So that's amazing. That's amazing. So you'd already been there for 7 years working in the retail store, and then you transitioned into this internal comms role. So how do you think that experience that you had in the store set you up to do that internal comms role, and how did that help you in terms of, you know, knowing what people were thinking and feeling and how you engage with them?
Definitely. It's one of those funny things that I look back now and just think, and I'm a big believer of kind of everything for a reason, even though it was so painful when it's kind of like, oh, my dreams of becoming a musician have kind of ended. But what I'd been doing that whole time was gaining so much knowledge around working in store, customers as well, and kind of how to interact with customers, that when I transferred into head office, and for me it was so scary. I was one of the first people to kind of transfer from kind of being a frontline, you know, person into a kind of, you know, corporate head office job. I felt very out of place. I was so nervous. I was just like, oh my God, I don't know anything. Like, there's all these people with business degrees, and I've been like touring and doing festivals and things like that. But what was amazing that I very quickly realized was that I had that knowledge that no one else had. So I'd go to meetings and they'd be discussing things and, you know, how they were going to do stuff and how they're going to set it up. And I'd kind of like, this little voice, I was like, I've got to say something. I was kind of like, you do know that people in the store can't actually do that, or they can't access those systems, or that doesn't make sense. Or even to the point kind of like, customers really don't care about that. Actually, this is what they care about. So very quickly, I became this go-to person and started to get invited to kind of like every meeting. So like, how to have all the knowledge. So all those 7 years, I'd actually built the foundation for the career that I've now got. So I'm so grateful and see so much value in all that insight. And it's something that's so dear to my heart that now I really look to kind of promote other people coming in from kind of our frontline into our head office teams and really having that close link to talking to our staff, because at the end of the day, they're the gatekeepers of kind of great customer service or bad customer service.
Absolutely, yeah.
And being able to understand how they feel in their roles, kind of set them up.
Absolutely. I think people these days, I mean, I experienced this towards the latter end of my corporate career, when we, particularly when we were bringing in, you know, and I don't want to kind of tarnish new graduates or graduates with this, but it seemed to be that it was a manufacturing environment, and really to be an effective manager in a manufacturing environment, you kind of really needed to understand how we made stuff and get your hands dirty. And that's not about working the machines, but it was about knowing what it was, how, you know, the challenges of working, particularly different shifts and all of that sort of thing. And they didn't really want to kind of do that. They wanted to come in and go straight into a kind of more technical role and earning, you know, not, it's like almost like an apprenticeship of learning, you know, how the business works is a really key part. And I think it's undervalued. And I think, you know, when you do get people who've been, had that experience, they, like you say, it's a tremendous, addition to the management team, when you've got that, you know, you've been there and you've kind of done it, and you know what customers and you know what frontline people need. I think it's really important.
Definitely. And there's so much gold dust, you think it's there. It's just been there. You just need to tap into it and ask the right questions and speak to the right people.
Definitely. You'd said, one of the things you said when we spoke originally, which I was really interested in, it kind of nicely follows on from this, was that you'd said you told me a really, and I'll let you tell the story again. It was about you uncovered it through an unintended consequence from your reward scheme. But one of the things was this, you talked about, was this idea of overlaying the customer's experience and the employee journeys, and how that you really found some really important parts. I think that's something that people would really like to listen to. So could you tell me that story, because it was really powerful.
Yeah, of course. So when I kind of was actually looking after internal comms, but also customer experience, and within that customer service, complaints, and also people and engagement, so kind of and training. So how do we support our staff? And it was really new bringing these worlds together. And I think it just came from my background that these two worlds collided. But that was the secret sauce to uncovering so much stuff. So typically in a kind of customer experience role, you look at customer journeys and you map out kind of how the customer interacts with all the different touch points of your organization. And we would do, of course, looking at that, but we then decided to do also underneath the employee journey alongside it. So we did the same journey, but looking at from both sides of the coin. So looking at it from the customer's point of view and looking at it from the staff's point of view. When you look at it from the customer's point of view, with this particular journey that we were looking at, the customer was feeling like the member of staff was being really pushy, not necessarily listening to kind of what they were saying, and you know, trying to get to the sale at the end of the day. So you know, typically you might then look at, okay, so we need to do better training for our staff, or even like punishment for our staff for not, you know, delivering a great customer service that's ultimately ending in a sale. But when we looked at the employee journey underneath and spoke to them, they what we saw was actually that member of staff was under tremendous pressure because of our commission scheme. So they were feeling like, oh gosh, I'm not going to hit the target. I'm not going to hit this. I might lose my job, or I'm not going to get a bonus. So all these pressures that we're putting on our staff is impacting, of course, how they speak to a customer. So actually the root cause of the issue was the incentive scheme. So it gave us this secret magic formula to say, this is the crux of the issue, and this is where we need to go to make tweaks and changes to be able to enable our staff, because at the end of the day, they want to do a good job. It's something that I'm now very mindful of in everything that I do, that you always look at both sides of the picture, because I think that really helps you get to the crux of issues, which probably you wouldn't do if you just focused on one side.
Yeah, I think it's really enlightening. I mean, I had another interview that I had with another interviewee on the podcast, who we were talking very much about the brand experience and how the brand, internal and external brand, needs to match up, and there needs to be that consistency of almost the way that we treat our people internally needs to mirror the way we want them to treat our customers as well. And I think it's only when you overlay those two sort of journeys together, whether you do it the way you did, or whether you really think about that, I think it's really when you start to sort of see where there's these inconsistencies and some of these unintended consequences, because they're both, you know, there's a legitimate reason to want to encourage people to sell, you know, that's not that in and of itself is, but if that's driving the behaviors that feel wrong for the customer, then that only really comes to light when you kind of do that root cause assessment of where that's coming from, I guess. Did it throw up any other issues? So that was one. I mean, what are some of the other maybe comms or internal misalignments that you discovered through that process? Were there any other significant ones that you came across?
I'm trying to remember. So I think the other things that came out really clearly was tools to do the job.
Right.
Actually, a lot of kind of, and I'm sure a lot of other businesses are the same, we had a lot of patchwork systems that don't work seamlessly together. So there was a lot of kind of hindrance for our staff because they were having to use multiple systems that did one part of it but not another part, or there was something missing from a system that actually, some of them were quick fixes, things like a calculator or something that preempts working things out, so the member of staff wasn't using scraps of paper or the calculator on their phone, all things like that. So there was a lot of stuff that we discovered around tools and things that we could do quite easily, so in some cases, to just add something to a system or work around a way of giving the staff support in kind of telling those stories. And I guess the other thing that actually came out of it inadvertently was the more we spoke to staff, the more we realized that they had amazing top tips. So we ended up creating a platform which enabled them to share best practice. And it's just like a little video platform that is like user-generated content, so they could share videos with the rest of their colleagues of things that they were doing to support kind of whether it was customer service, whether it was sales, whether it was how to position a difficult conversation. And it could have even been manager kind of support on internal, like talking to their team, all that kind of stuff. And we had so much success with that, because I remember one that really sticks in my mind was a guy that came on, and his little video he did was around, and this was years ago, around using Google Translate. So in the stores, they had iPads, and he was like, oh, I've got a top tip. You know, if you have a customer where their first language isn't English, you just use Google Translate. You can hold it over their bill and it translates everything. And I, at the time, I remember being, I hadn't even heard of Google Translate at that point. I was like, wow, this is like magic. This happens. But him being able to share that, we were then able to kind of push that on all the iPads, and then that was great. It drove great customer service. And you think you could spend ages trying to figure out all these amazing things when actually our staff, they know it. They're living and breathing it. We just needed to give them an internal platform for them to share.
to be able to do that. Yeah,
which is great. So yeah, that was one of the other things that comes to mind.
Fantastic. Anyway, I want to move on to the kind of the key thing I wanted to talk to you about, which was this idea of purpose. So I've worked in organizations. We've helped organizations to try and communicate their purpose. And I've been in organizations where we've had a purpose and we've been trying to communicate it. It's one of those things that's usually quite nebulous. It's for people in the, you know, in the, and at the front line, it can sometimes feel like the emperor's new clothes. You get eye rolling. You get, it's always, here's the latest fad. They're on the kind of purpose thing again. And also, I guess, finding a purpose that really kind of gets people excited and wanting to get out of bed every morning with a spring in their step. You've done a lot of work, or you did a lot of work in your last role as in internal comms for the business around this getting this purpose out and launching it. And you had a new CEO at the time, or a new leader coming into the organization. Just again, it's a really interesting story about how you brought that purpose to life. Because I think this is something that all internal communications people sometimes struggle with, the inspiration as to how to get that purpose into people's minds and hearts, as it were.
Yeah, definitely. So I think it was about 2 years ago now. We had a new CEO coming into the business, and he was very much wanted to look at our purpose and relaunch it. And obviously we did a big piece of work with kind of agencies and various people from the business, and came up with a great purpose, actually, which is building connections that really matter. Mm. And we'd done, you know, all the traditional things. We'd shared the research, we'd shared the stories, we you know, from the top down, got kind of leaders talking around it. But there is this thing, I think, where it is that bit of like, oh God, we've got this purpose, and it's a, you know, it is a bit of a buzzword, and people are kind of turned off by it, and they need to see action as well. It's kind of like, this is great, but we want to see kind of real action that you're living behind it, which I'm pleased to say that he absolutely has, and has kind of driven that change. But I was kind of really thinking about it. It was an opportunity because he was new CEO, so we needed to do a bit of kind of internal PR around him. And he's a great guy. He's kind of I think he's 6'7".
Wow.
Maybe I'm exaggerating. He's very tall anyway. German guy called Lutz Schüler is a fantastic CEO. And it was about bringing his personality, but also the kind of virginness. And those of you that know Richard Branson, it, you know, there's a lot of kind of heartfelt history of the brand there, but there's also that cheekiness, and there's also that kind of like challenging the status quo and looking at doing things differently. And what we ended up doing was doing a little video. So we did the whole campaign around launching the purpose, but then quite quickly after we did that, we did a little video of Lutz and our COO, Jeff Dodds, who's also an amazing character, and he's worked for Virgin for a long time. So we did a little video of them kind of, and the kind of the scene opens and you see them laying on their fronts, and you assume that they're having a massage. You can't really see because it's a really tight screen, and they're kind of chatting, and they're like, oh, how do you think the purpose has gone down? And they're like, yeah, I think it was good. I think so. And Jeff says to Lutz, like, oh, but I don't think they're taking it as seriously as we are. And then you hear like a buzzing noise, and the camera pans up, and you actually see they're in a tattoo parlor. and then the kind of next kind of screen is them standing up, and they've actually had the tattoo tattooed on their bottoms.
Right.
So a really kind of funny, like, quite risque, I guess. But just showed that fun side to say, you know, we're Virgin, we've got that kind of ability to take the mickey out of ourselves, and also in a really fun way. And we had so much positive reaction from that. And I think it just kind of goes to show that allowing leaders to kind of make fun of themselves in the right way, I think goes a really long way. Kind of engagement and really landing the point in a fun way. But we have a lot of fun with doing that.
You said you were quite a cheeky organization. I think you took it quite literally there. So, and did you have a bum stand in, or was it genuinely, did you have a double?
He gets asked that question all the time. I don't want to ruin the illusion.
That's brilliant. And I think it's a really good way of demonstrating, again, like you said, I think there's always an element of authenticity. There's an element of self-deprecation is always valued and not putting yourself on a pedestal. In fact, the opposite can be. That's a really powerful way, I think, of demonstrating and showing that, you're serious, but also that there is kind of in keeping with the culture. In terms of the actual purpose itself, which was, I think, I can't remember what it was now, it was about being connected in helping people to stay connected. I can't remember what the exact wording was there. What else did you do around communicating and getting people to really understand what that meant on a kind of behavioral level? Did you in terms of operationalizing that purpose, I guess? So how did that work?
Yeah, so we did a lot of stuff around talking to our employees and asking them to do kind of user-generated content as well. So the purpose was building connections that really matter. And I guess for a business like Virgin Media, we're expanding our network. So we're actually physically building cable into the ground to enable people to stay connected to the things that matter to them, and then the types of services that we're offering. And I think, God, even more so now, but how we stay connected with our friends, our family, our loved ones, but then also to kind of the fun entertainment and the kind of Netflix and all the stuff that we're consuming. So it was about unpacking it in getting our people to tell that story. So we interviewed people across the whole business of kind of what does that purpose mean to them, and how do they play a part in it, how do they show up, and why they're proud to have that as their kind of purpose. And just, I think, also kind of really keeping it alive, but not in a, I don't know what the word is, but not in a kind of dictatorial way, more in a kind of, this is ours, this is what we stand for. And Lutz was very good at kind of being open and say, I want everyone, if we're doing things that don't align to our purpose, speak out, kind of shout out and say, this doesn't align. This is kind of why we're here as a business. So giving people that kind of forum to be able to do that. It was really about sharing stories and continuing to share those stories that show how we are, because we are on a day-to-day basis. And again, it comes back down to kind of our customer-facing staff. They're doing it on a daily basis with our customers. They're, building connections and enabling connections for our customers to the things that really matter to them. So it was just about creating a platform and finding those stories and kind of really publishing them and making sure we're doing it in a fun and engaging way. And I think the video stuff that we've done has been, we've had a lot of traction with it. I obviously, as I said, I don't come from a kind of corporate background. I come from a more, the arts world. So, and I'm probably like living out my dream in a different way of kind of being able to do that. But it's true when you think about it, when I reflect sometimes, I'm like, why do people do these really weird videos where it's just someone like talking, wah, wah, wah. I'm like, they're boring and people have switched off. You look at the types of media that people are consuming, they're really short video clips, they're funny, they're kind of creative. So why would we not, as internal comms, do exactly the same? Because that's the kind of content that people are used to seeing and want to be involved in and want to produce content. So it was just enabling that to have the ability for people to do that. And then it kind of purpose lives itself.
Yeah, Yeah, I think absolutely. I mean, I'm hoping to be interviewing a guy who, an American author who's written, just written, published last year, a really interesting book that really resonated with me. And the whole tenet of that is that there is a lot of there is a hell of a noise at the minute that we have to try and cut through as internal communicators. And if we're going to do that, we need to do it in we need to get people's attention, not in a kind of a you know, we need to grab their attention, because there's just so much noise. There's just so much, you know, we're bombarded with so much information at the minute, and having a way of doing that with something that's visual, memorable, captures our attention is a real art, I think. But actually is really, really sort of critical, I think, for internal communicators. You mentioned there, you can, in passing, I think it's important, just, you know, I would like to ask the question is we're in kind of summer 2020, you mentioned, you know, that whole connections that matter, and particularly at this moment in time when we're in the middle of the pandemic, where virtually everybody's working from home. I guess that certainly laying, you know, repairing digital connections at the moment, that purpose has never been more important than ever. I know you're not in that area at the minute, you've moved into a different role, which we'll talk briefly about. Is that something you think that's really kind of been, you know, your kind of purpose has really come to life over these last 10 to 12 weeks, I guess?
Oh my God, so much so. And it's been so heartwarming to see kind of everyone across our whole organization really, really working together. I think if you ever needed a test to see if your purpose was true, this global pandemic is definitely one of those. And we've so many stories. There's people kind of changing jobs. We've got kind of people from frontline into head office doing different jobs to be able to support our customers so that they can have, you know, that reliability, which we all are kind of so in need of, kind of especially internet. There's so many kind of heartwarming stories across the business, and again, just making sure we are telling those stories and enabling our customers to tell those stories as well, and how can we not only support, you know, our customers, but the broader community. So we've done a lot of work with kind of NHS and things like that to provide secure broadband and things like that. And even, you know, with our Virgin Media business, supporting other businesses as well. So I think it is something that we all feel super proud that we've all come together as a big organization to really live and breathe our purpose to help everyone that we can.
Fantastic. So you're now transitioning into a different role. You're out of internal comms. You're into a more of an external comms facing role. So you're head of customer marketing now.
Yeah.
What are you going to take, and how much are you going to keep with you, I guess? What are you packing into your box of experience and knowledge and skills that you, from your internal comms role, and how do you think that internal comms role is going to help you to be better at your new role as well?
So much so. I think kind of in my last role, I was very much focused on kind of the employees and how do we help support them and enable them. And now I'm going over into customer markets about really focusing on our customers. And I think they're different, but they're so similar in the sense that communications, it's at the heart of it. So making sure, you know, it's giving people information that they want and need, and it's doing it in an engaging way. That, whether it's to your people or to customers, it's exactly the same methodology, right? So I think all of that stuff is really transferable. And I think for me, it's kind of going back to the old role that I was doing before. It's about joining dots and bringing my kind of internal comms team into the conversation in the marketing team. So if we're doing a campaign for customers, let's just mirror that internally, so we're really doing the same for our customers' employees, and if we're giving customers great experiences or opportunities to win great experiences, let's do the same for our employees. Let's join those dots. So I think there's so much stuff that I want to kind of bring together. And I guess for me personally, I've moved, you know, I've been at Virgin for kind of 16 years now, and I've moved around quite a bit. And what I'm really noticing that I'm starting to do, whether I'm consciously aware of it, I don't know, but I'm starting to be more around, I'm really focused on around bringing cross-functional teams together to co-create stuff. I'm really not, and I don't think I've ever been, but I probably was a little bit more when I was younger. You know, when you're kind of, you're very driven to succeed and you want to be the person that owned it and you want to be the person that delivered it. I think as I'm getting older and as I'm definitely moving into this role, I feel like I'm more focused on bringing people together to have the right conversations and to co-create. And I think that for me is the next thing. I think where I was bringing the employee voice with the customer voice, I'm still absolutely doing that. I'm very passionate about that. It's where I came from. I think I'll always have that. I'm now looking at how can we bring more parts of the organization together to solve things and co-create. And I think that seems to be at the moment. I mean, I'm only 3 weeks in, so it's still I think that seems to be where I'm focusing now is kind of how do we break down those silos and really get all that ego and stuff, leave that and just like, you know, debate stuff and bring people into the fold and you have such a better conversation. I think you come up with better ideas when you've got the right people around the table that have got, you know, subject matter experts in their area and they've got something to bring and you can really get all those ideas and come up with something.
Yeah. Oh, that's brilliant. Absolutely. No, I think that's a really strong, you know, for me, that's a really strong message that I've taken from this conversation with Johanna. I think there's a whole connectedness with not only, you know, across the business, understanding how you serve your customers, understanding what your customers need, understanding what those people at the front end of the business, no matter how, what your business is are serving those customers, really then tying that into having a really strong sense of purpose and people wanting to get out of bed every morning, do it a great work piece of work for the business. And then really, you know, then bringing that into as you've moved up the organization into this role now to sort of think, how can I bring all of that experience together to make sure that there's a joined up way of looking at that whole customer marketing and what we offer to our customers and how that relates to our employees. So that's a really, really nice sort of joined up a conversation that we've had there, Hannah. One thing we, before we completely wrap up, I just want to ask you, we normally ask this, and I can't remember whether I warned you about this. on my interviews, I've kind of developed this thing and about asking people something that maybe, well, I might not know because we've only met recently and also the people listening aren't going to know. But what's something that people would go, oh, I didn't know that about you, Hannah? Even people who know you reasonably well. Have you got any kind of secret passions or things that you kind of do that people wouldn't expect Hannah to do? What's your one thing or one of your many things that you'd like to share with us?
That's a really good question. So, I think I'm going to go with netball. So I still play netball most weekends, play in the Croydon Netball League, but I used to play for County. And something that, yeah, I've done since I was 11. So I can't imagine not ever playing netball.
Yeah.
It'd be weird. But yeah, I guess it's, yeah, something that's part of me that's a little bit different.
Fantastic. Well, that's brilliant. Oh, well, excellent. And that's a really good thing to not to finish on, because one thing I want to ask is, how can people find out about you, get in touch with you? Are you a fervent or a user of social media? I know you've got your LinkedIn profile, which I'll put in the show notes if that's okay, if people do want to connect with you and talk to you and find out a little bit more about your outlook on life. Any other ways that you'd like, you're happy for people to reach out and communicate with you, or is that the best way?
Yeah, LinkedIn is definitely the best way. I'm not really into Twitter. Might be a bit controversial, but not a massive Twitter fan. So LinkedIn is the best way to connect.
Yeah, brilliant. Well, no, that one, I'll do that. I'll definitely put that in the show notes. And yeah, and I think, you know, you've given a lot to us in this conversation. And I think it's always nice if people can, you know, follow up and ask you any specific questions. But, you know, obviously the great thing about LinkedIn is you can choose, you can select who you want to respond to and make sure that their intentions are noble, which I'm sure they will be. So look, it's been absolutely fantastic speaking to you, Hannah. Wonderful to hear your stories and to hear about what you've been doing. And all the you know, fantastic work that you've been doing, and I wish you all the best for your new role going forward. And I'm sure you'll be hugely successful as you have been in the past. Just to say thank you very much for the interview.
No, absolute pleasure. Thanks for having me, Craig. I've really enjoyed it.
Absolutely brilliant. Take care, Hannah. Thank you.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye. So thank you very much for listening to Engaging Internal Comms. We hope you found this episode useful and interesting. We'd love to get your thoughts about the show and any questions you have or ideas for topics that you'd like to maybe cover in future episodes. You can email us at info@thebigpicturepeople.co.uk, or you can get in touch with us via the contact form at engagingic.com. You can also sign up for our mailing list there, and we'll send you relevant news about the show, future episodes, and we'll also let you know about anything interesting we found out about internal communications and employee engagement. If you like the show and you haven't already done so, please subscribe to it via your podcast service. And you can also subscribe via the links on our podcast page, which again is engagingic.com. If you like the show, we'd be really grateful if you could leave us a review. And if you know anyone else who might be interested in the show or might benefit from it, please let them know. Please share it with them and share them with them the links to the show and engagingic.com. Thank you very much. Thank you.